Views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Afternoon, you are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines that I call USA Inc. on this Monday afternoon. Man, a lot of stuff went down over the weekend. I'm sure most people are expecting or examining this recent FBI report on so-called BIE. I mean, they're making up a word. All they need to do is replace the B with a L and we will get a lie. And the lie that they're telling in this report is they're trying to make people seem like they're dangerous and explain away the killings of police officers by blaming it on the publicity that they get for doing what they do as slave catchers in a modern day system practicing slavery. So I'll definitely be taking a look at this report over the week. I want to give it the type of time and, you know, time to study it, time to break it down, time to consider the points that's being made in it. But overall, again, considering the administration, who's at the Justice Department, who's the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions had already signaled this type of stuff. So if this snuck up on anyone, you know, shame on you, because you haven't been aware of what's been going on the battlefield. And this is why I tell people you pay attention to politics. People say politics don't matter, whether you participate or not, you need to know what's going on. And this is definitely a political move that was signaled a time ago. And this is also, in my opinion, the Trump administration throwing a bone to white supremacists after Congress forced his hand, into either signing or vetoing a resolution condemning white supremacy, and also part two of the resolution calling for federal resources directed at eliminating what they call domestic terrorism. So now, after Congress did that, after Charlottesville, come on, y'all, it's not hard. I don't want to, like, use metaphors, but sometimes we have to so that, you know, everybody can understand these simple terms and whatnot. But it's just simply a chess move. It's a chess move. And we have long known that the type of person that Donald Trump is, his father belonged to the Church of White Supremacy. Donald Trump probably has been a practicing member secretly, but then, you know, again, what's in you will come out. And we've had decades of racism and white supremacy coming out of the mouth of Donald Trump or in his actions. A whole lot of other negative behavior, but, you know, who is shocked at anything? But we do want to delve into this report, and I have a lot to say about it, and I'm sure other people have something to say about it. So during the second hour, we will devote that to nothing but that report. I'm hoping that people have already delved into it and they can share on whatever the sections is. It's only 12 pages long. Okay, so it's only 12 pages long, but we're not going to do the whole 12 pages on one program. That'll take up the whole 2 hours. Yeah. No, so we'll look at a couple of pages every day during this week until we get through this report so we can pick it apart, so we can come up with our counter propaganda. Some other people were saying that this was propaganda. Now, because we lose a lot of communication through social media, through text, when you're using text, because in human speech, you know, you can, your voice can inflect, you can emote passion, you can emote different emotions or sarcasm or whatnot. And so I don't think that this person was saying like this is a fake report, the government didn't issue this, because they there was some people who said, oh, this is fake news, and had to look at the report to see if this is really government issue report, because it came out in September. So it's been out this long, and it even slipped by me. So they held on to that. They kept that as a closely guarded secret for a couple of months. Oftentimes, because we don't have the resources that these corporate news platforms have, you know, we don't have people filing FOI requests or at the White House waiting for press releases or anything of the sort. Sometimes we have to rely on those things to trickle out to us through corporate media. And so that's why it's still, you know, you have to watch it. You just have to watch it with a filter. But, I mean, it's propaganda. It is an actual government report, and it does serve the purpose of propaganda, but coming from a agency within the federal government, the executive branch of the U.S. government, the FBI, in this long history of putting out such reports and taking public positions, this takes us right back to the 70s. Well, actually, we had to go back to the 50s. How long was J. Edgar Hoover over the FBI? I mean, this guy was spying on everybody. He had dirt on presidents. He had dirt on Congress members. That's the only way I can explain this man having a 40-year reign of terrorism, white supremacist variety, all in support of the continued enslavement of melanated people. You know, he had to been blackmailing them, for lack of a better term. But that's a term everybody understands when you say that, right? So that's all this is, regurgitation of the same tactics, the same propaganda, and what have you. And I kind of take this, well, I take everything serious that should be taken serious. And this report should be taken serious, because some of the things expressed in this report are ideologies, ideals, beliefs that some people hold that are broadcast on this very network, Black Talk Radio Network. Again, don't forget how we were born because of racism and white supremacy on a white corporate platform. Didn't like our express. I mean, all the name Black, you know, oh, that's kind of extreme, Scotty. And you got a little red, black, and green going on your website. What does that matter? These colors, these symbols, you know what I'm saying? And I'm supposed to be a customer, but, you know, practicing racism is more important to you than making money, I suppose. And I'm speaking not of that corporation, because there were people involved. I don't want to talk about it in broad terms. John Sweet, if you're listening, I don't even think he works for them anymore. But how were we born? Because we were suspended simply for existing as Black Talk Radio. That's racist. White people said it was racist. So we gonna treat it as racism. It doesn't matter that you have people of all nationalities, religions, discussing serious topics in social, political sphere. And that didn't matter. It was Black, and, you know, it was radio. So we had to go. And that's how we were born. So sometimes, you know, you really can take lemons and make lemonade, as they say. Not that you should be grateful for any kind of racism, but you always want to counter that. And this is a counter. This is the federal government, the Trump administration, Jeff Sessions, and whoever the current FBI director is. I know they got an interim person in there. Their name just doesn't come to my mind because they haven't really been out front. You know, this is them practicing counter racism to your counter racism. And so what's the counter? But, you know, just to summarize how I feel about these people, if they were dangerous and they were saying dangerous things, and, well, let me rephrase that. If I felt like these people meant to go out and do other people harm, that believe in these certain ideologies, which are, or names and labels that they give themselves, and the history that they study, and you know, they're not talking about purchasing a whole bunch of rifles and equipping them with bump stocks and then starting a revolution. They don't talk about that kind of stuff. Are people talking about that? I don't know. I'm not a part of those conversations. So I don't know. I do know what goes out over these airways. And so, you know, they're just, again, pulling another page out the old playbook. As has been said in scripture, ain't nothing new under the sun. And no, we're not under the sun as the flat earth theory people believe. No, the sun earth is rotating around the sun. We're not under it. We're not going under it. Or no, we're going around it in orbit. Okay. So there's nothing new under the sun. And all that simply means is that things that they've tried before, if they work, then hey, they going to try them again, and they going to keep trying them and keep trying them until people quit falling for it. So all this is, I would say, political terrorism. Because I'm sure, as some black people have been expressing, they're afraid of this. What kind of effect is this going to have? You know, you already started with calling stuff extremists on YouTube and demonetizing. You didn't kick them off or whatnot. Some of them did get kicked off of YouTube, but demonetizing and advertisers not backing it. But now you got the FBI coming out with this report saying that these people are connected to attacks on slave catchers because they perceive this is happening to them. Anybody that has been listening to this program for when, let's say, Barack Obama was the face and figurehead of the corporation, USA Inc. And he would say those things when he would be asked to comment on a recent killing, like Trayvon Martin, for example, Mike Brown. You know, he when he talking to everybody, he's saying things like, they perceive, black people perceive this extra level of brutality or something. See, words matter, man. And they get you with them words. There is no perception that slave catchers are killing black people. We have the body counts to prove it. There are news reports. It make it sound like black people was in some kind of psychosis or something, and they living in an alternate reality where they believe that black people are being disproportionately killed more than other Americans or people classified as Americans by this government, citizens. Again, it don't matter what you classify yourself, and this report proves that. But, you know, no, we don't perceive these things. Now, from an abolitionist perspective, I speak about it because it's part of slavery, and I'm an abolitionist, and so that's why I refer to what they call a drug war is mass slave catching. And when you break down the arrest, yes, it does play out racially in the statistics. So it's not me perceiving any of these things. These are facts. So I take issue when government officials come out their mouth saying that we perceive these things or black people perceive those things. And it's not really happening, because that's when you use perceive or perception in the English language in a sentence like that, you're basically saying that these people believe in a lot of conspiracy theories and what have you. And you know how they like to hype stuff up and inflate stuff. And what, see, that's why I don't hype stuff. Everything ain't a conspiracy. There are many things that can be explained if you had the expertise, if you had the knowledge and whatnot. So, You know, I don't promote that. It's like the little boy who cried wolf. I don't know how many hundreds of years old that fable is. You know, the boy who cried wolf. What's the point of the story? The point of the story is that this little dude was supposed to be watching out for wolves that were trying to eat the sheep. And he thought it was funny. Or he got a lot of attention whenever he ran into town and he cried wolf, even though there was no wolf. He just got a kick out of it and fooling people and being like, oh, man, they so, you know, stupid or whatnot. So then when the wolves really come, he come into town yelling, crying wolf. And nobody believed him. And there is a lesson to that story that can be applied today. Y'all know what I'm talking about, because these are who this FBI report, they're talking about you. And again, this is a free speech space, if you want to call it that, free speech digital space. That was set up as a safe space, digital space for black people. You know, it's become common now. We hear in colleges about people setting up black spaces, safe black spaces. We see that in the news about these reports. Black Talk Radio was established as a virtual black safe space in 2008. We've been leading the effort in safe digital black spaces because we suffer racism. Not imagined, but very real and documented. Everything I talked about, what happened to us on Blog Talk Radio, that's common knowledge for everybody that was around when it first started in 2007 is when they launched. Then we launched because of that hostile environment over there. White people calling into your show, interrupting your show, calling you niggers and just all kind of racism. It was talked about on one of the shows on this network last week. So what this report seeks to do is to label a person like me as something wrong with me for building an institution, as my brother Robin Benton once told me about Black Talk Radio Network becoming an institution, because it has been around for 8 years as the number one depository of audio podcasts made by black people, grassroots media, talking about whatever they want to talk about. I do draw the line at where people start talking about killing people and doing this, that, and other. I'm talking about hosts. We can't control what callers say, but hosts. We're not going to be plotting on air acts of terrorism against civilian population or anyone for that matter. That's just common sense right there. But if people want to call themselves Moors, if they want to say they sovereign, I listen to it. Often I'm forced to as the manager of this station. I listen to it. Because you can learn from anybody, you know. You can pick up on that which you either confirms what you already read or come in conflict with something and then calls you to do further study. That's the intellectual process. All right, but they trying to criminalize. Well, they not trying. They have the power and always have criminalized any kind of black movement for independence, which is really a person seeking freedom from slavery, and it's very effective tools of racism and white supremacy. So, yeah, but we'll say that on the other half. The second hour, if we need be, we'll go into a third hour, but I don't want to do the whole report. But there is other news that I need to get into. The BTR Weekly newsletter, we published that, and it discusses a university study that is predicting the death of terrestrial radio stations as a business model. because we live in a capitalistic society, and if you're setting up something to make money, and especially if you got investors or you owe any money to the bank, which is, again, your investor that you went to, and it's not profitable, then what does capitalism do? It kills it. That's why Black Talk Radio Network has been around, so it wasn't set up as a capitalistic, on a capitalistic model to make money. It was set up as a nonprofit to provide a digital safe space for Black people to express themselves, their frustrations, their diagnosis of problems, whatever their solutions is that they come up with. People ought to have, and you know, so I don't worry about these sort of reports. I'm like, you know, if I sit around worrying about what the government might do to me, then I would never do anything. You know what I'm saying? But of course, I operate within their laws because I'm subject to their laws. Again, I don't argue with people who had the ideology of sovereign citizenship, or I'm a Moor, and me calling myself a Moor is going to give me some kind of different privileges than what other people classified by the system as Black or African American. We all know who they talking about. That, you know, that's not going to save me. It's just simply not. So again, man, this report, the only good thing about this report is that it provokes so much. It should be provoking a lot of conversation and examining these certain things. But again, everybody, as long as they're not talking about intruding upon another person's life, liberty, and freedom in an unjust manner, then I don't have a problem with what anybody says. May not agree with it, but as long as they're adhering to those principles, then I don't have a problem with their speech. I don't, you know, we hear all kind of things, and this is a mass communication tool, and we're going to hear from all types of people and come across different people. But this is more broadly, again, nothing new under the sun. What they've done before, they'll do again. But this is straight out of J. Edgar's playbook, COINTELPRO. Read about it. So, yeah, but in this newsletter, and this is kind of related, this newsletter that this university published predicted the death of terrestrial radio stations as a business model. Again, I predicted all of this in 2008 when I founded the Black Talk Media Project. We talked about it in last week's October, I think it was October the 1st, issue last Sunday, our Black Talk Radio Weekly newsletter. You can get it for free. Go to blacktalkradionetwork.com. You'll see the widget where you can subscribe to that. But we looked in that other report where you have the radio audience, especially among Black people and Hispanic people, over 70 million, and it continues to grow. And this just didn't happen overnight. It happened over the last, 8 years, going on 9 years, that I predicted that this was going to happen. And so now another guy who has been writing about the internet and technology and for about, 20-something years, almost 30 years, he come out with an article. And he's written several books. He comes out with an article saying that terrestrial radio is dead. So if terrestrial radio, which is controlled by big conglomerates, corporations, mostly white males, they may have, you know, a minority in the room or on the board or maybe even serving as president, but overwhelmingly white males control media communications, including these terrestrial radio stations. So if they die, then Black terrestrial radio stations that are already struggling since that attack in 1996 through the Telecommunications Act, they ain't gonna survive. So what's going to happen is that Ricky Smiley and them, I was just reading an article on Rap Rehab about Ricky Smiley today. That's a publication by Paul Porter, who just released a book, The Blackout. Blackout the Book by Paul Porter. Do a Google search on that. His 40 years in the industry. He's been a guest on Black Talk Radio. So, you know, given their struggles already, they not going to survive. So we can look at that as an attack, or we can look at that as an opportunity. I prefer to see it as an opportunity. Now, I know Steve Harvey and other comedians that we hear on in morning radio, terrestrial radio and whatnot, I know that they're going to be available or are probably already available online through TuneIn like mostly everybody else and these other directories and possibly their own websites as well. So we know people will still be able to listen to them, but they won't have that dominance no more on the radio, people in cars and what have you. And so this guy's predicting, like, soon as the latest batch of cars in the made in the last 10 to 11 years start getting cycled out the rotation and people getting newer cars that's internet ready and connected. Again, I predicted all this in 2008. Paying attention to the technology and the trends and how minorities, quote unquote minorities, primarily black people, because that's who I'm trying to help, consume or access the internet, which was through smartphones, mobile phones, which makes sense because you can get a smartphone for $40 where you can get cheap laptops and other devices, but a lot of people don't have $400 to put down on a computer or a laptop, or some people spend even more, but they can access the internet and do a whole lot of stuff on it. That's really like having a mini, I don't want to call it a computer, although it's doing computing, running the apps and what have you. But I mean, I spotted this. This is the most affordable way to bridge what they call that so-called digital divide. So what I'm saying is none of this was sneaking up on me. And if people would have been paying attention to what I was saying, and there's still opportunity, but they would have went this way, the digital radio route, instead of going the terrestrial radio route. But they could still make that switch, just like these terrestrial stations are going to have to. And then those corporations going to look at it and say, man, I don't need to employ a bunch of people at a brick and mortar station. Man, we could just rent it from one location and put these people on a playlist or what have you, or have these people record their show and they just send it in. You don't need local talent. You don't need no local on-air talent. You don't need no DJs. You can run everything like Black Talk Radio Network's being run. They're going to figure that out, man. So the death of terrestrial radio is imminent. And I definitely want to take a look at that. I got some related news on the Grenfell Towers, as I talked to one of our volunteers who prefers to be known publicly as Agent M. And I asked her about those suspected terrorist attacks on the Grenfell Towers. Y'all remember that? That high-rise building in the United Kingdom, public housing, basically, and burnt up all hundreds of people alive. And there's, you know, not been a lot of news here in the United States reporting on that. And I've done programs on it, and I already put out there, I suspect this was a terrorist attack. This was a white supremacist, suspected racist, who set this fire. And because of the cheap materials and the type of materials that was used, it just basically lit up in flames with no way to escape. And then you had like sprinklers not working. But I was reading a report, and I linked to it in my description, and those that listen later on the podcast. But this type of cladding, this one chemist believes his experiment could explain why cladding on the high-rise towers was found to be a fire risk after the Grenfell blaze, despite having been previously deemed safe. Professor Lawrence Harwood found that aluminum cladding panels heated to more than 300 degrees Celsius would ignite by simply having water sprayed on it. So even if the sprinklers had worked, it would have just been fuel for the fire because of that chemical reaction. Instead of putting out the firemen was actually spreading it and making it worse, unbeknownst to them. So I definitely want to share a couple of stories on that. But again, this is Black Talk Radio news, commentary, and music. I'm feeling, again, kind of public enemy today. And the reason that I'm feeling public enemy today, and just want to give a shout out to those in our conference room, is because I can sum this up in a Public Enemy album titled this report, this BIE report, or LIE, okay? That's what we'll call it. It's Fear of a Black Planet. When Public Enemy came out with that album, so I'm dedicating this show to the white supremacist racist slavers behind this report, and we dedicating tracks or cuts from the album Fear of a Black Planet to you. But really, these people ain't in no fear of us. Let's make that straight. They got all the firepower. They got all the brainwashed soldiers at their disposal. They've been infiltrated by white supremacists. Now, again, that's another thing that's probably not being another element to this story that I haven't heard anybody talking about is, well, what about that 2006 report the FBI put out saying that white supremacists had infiltrated all levels of law enforcement and that they were known as, these infiltrators were known as ghost skins. So what happened on that? FBI pushed that out. So how do we know that a ghost skin didn't write this report? For all I know, a bunch of ghost skins wrote this report, taking aim at people who identify as black. And again, you call yourself a Moor. This goes back years. I don't be trying to argue with people. I really don't. Sometimes you just, you know, you let people be who they are. And and they going off of something they read and something they studied, and if they think it can help them, then that's therapy in a way, whether I believe in it or not, or believe it'll make a difference or not. Okay, but it don't matter how the victim classify themselves. What matters is how the oppressor classify you. And so y'all can argue with Jeff Sessions all day long, or the interim FBI director, or Donald Trump, or anybody that's part of his administration. Y'all can argue with them all day long and say, look, I ain't black. I'm a Moor. And you guess what? They going to be like, okay. And then when they get done doing whatever they got the power to do to you that they want to do to you, then they going to be laughing. If you are not in charge, your classification system don't mean squat. The only thing that backs the law are the guns and their ability to force you to adhere to that law. So, but again, many of these people are harmless. They are just trying to come up with a solution since ain't nobody seen to figure it out yet. They're just trying to come up with a solution to slavery. Some of them call it white supremacy. Other of them call it whatever label they want to give it. I, based on my research, say the root is slavery. But it's all attempts to analyze what's going on so we can bring a stop to it. But again, here, this is all deflection, people. This is deflection. For all we know, ghost skins wrote the report. They feel emboldened since they got a CEO of USA Inc. who ran a campaign promoting white supremacy, openly playing to that crowd. So they want to come out with this BIE. So anyway, man, I tell you, I go all day. This is why it's going to take a week for me to go through this entire letter and break it down, because it's very serious when you do have an agency with a history of acting above the law, of aiding terrorism against black people, bomb, you know, the Move 9. Shout out to them brothers and sisters, and to the ones that have joined the ancestors out of Philly. FBI supplied the C4 that the Philly Police Department dropped on this house that they know had children, women and children in it. Not to mention it was part of a bunch of houses, row houses, you know, where houses be right up on top. And they burnt down the entire black community. FBI did that. So, I mean, us talking about this stuff is not the reason that the slave catchers are getting shot. Another element that they leaving out of it is they are veterans as well. The ones that they name, like, and I'm sorry I don't have their names, and we'll go into the report during the week, but Christopher Donner, veteran. Micah X, veteran. Again, I don't know these names. The one in Louisiana, veteran. U.S. veteran. What about that? Huh? Is this something with veterans that are taking this action? It's not so much so that they had a black identity, but they had the training to carry out these attacks. Highly successful attacks. Gave themselves up on some Nat Turner stuff, on some John Brown stuff, on some people that know that, you know, I'm going to die. And they resisted slavery best of their ability, with the means that they had. We've seen this play out throughout history. So they want you to focus on black, as always. Black people complain. Oh, they're complaining about nothing. They just perceive that slavery was never abolished. They perceive that the 13th Amendment has a loophole in it. They perceive that slave catchers basically have a license to kill most Americans. They've been getting away with it. So, you know, again, this is why in certain times in my language, I don't identify something racially, depending upon my audience, because guess what? There are people who don't look like me who getting shot and killed by slave catchers, and who are in prisons and on plantations and working as slaves just as my cousins have, that have been enslaved on the system. My little brother, you know. So I don't racialize it because I give them an opening to distract me from the fact that you practicing slavery. But then they could deny it, and they'll say, you know, white people get shot too. White people in slavery too. That's why I'm not racializing slavery. It is what it is. We can talk about and point out that it is disproportionately affecting the victims going ever since the colony of Virginia first started criminalizing blackness in legal code, in laws, with the firepower behind it to enforce them by stripping black people of their firearms. Yeah. So lots of history to consider, and they don't want you talking about this sort of history. And if some people want to say that they're not a citizen, even though they paying taxes, even though they paying the same fees in the system just like everybody else that you need to operate in this capitalist system. So they claim they can say they not a part of it, but technically we are. And I don't view that as dangerous. Because ain't nothing we've yet to see any of these type of movements. You know, the Moors incorporated as a religion, Moor Science Temple. Guy was from North Carolina. Part Cherokee, part African. They say the African was a Moor. And then he later founds the Moor Science Temple. Well, guess who he went to get documentation for that nonprofit religious institution. He went to the U.S. government. The government approved that charter. So I think it's sort of oxymoronic to then say that these people don't recognize the government or recognize your authority when they coming to you to get the charters and all, because they know you can put them in prison, and you have put people in prison. Call it tax evasion, call it bad businessmen, being bad businessmen and women, whatever excuse you need to come up with, whatever you need to make happen. So it's a lot to unpack here. Lots to unpack, and if you would like to help us unpack some of it, we'll probably end up going 3 hours today. You can give us a call at 866-510-9025. That's 866-510-9025. But we're dedicating the music today to the FBI, to the Department of Justice, and to the Trump administration. Listening to Black Talk Radio News. We'll be back on the other side.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Fear of a black planet. Black Talk Radio News, Scotty Reed again in on this broadcast. And P.E. was trying to tell us back in 1990, look out for the press. Look out for these liberals, quote unquote, supposed to be allies. And that is not to say you don't find allies and people with the same goals as you have, which we hope is a more just society free of slavery, or a planet. How about a planet free of slavery? All right. And so Chuck and them was trying to warn us about that kind of stuff back in 1990. That was incident at 66.6 FM was an actual show. What was that guy? He used to be on with Hannity and Combs, Alan Combs. He used to have a show back in the 90s. That was an actual excerpt from the radio show back then. Those were real callers. Those were not actors. And so again, today we are dedicating the album Fear of a Black Planet to the Trump administration, the Justice Department, which also includes the FBI, in response to their so-called report on black identity extremism. Again, this is nothing but a counterpunch, people. This is also mind games, but it has real world implications in terms of policies that could come down the pipe. Very, very troubling. So again, it don't matter if you identify as an African American. It doesn't matter. That's separate. That's apart from, hey, we're just all Americans. But Donald Trump definitely has not laid aside his Irish identity, his nationality, his cultural roots. He's not that far removed from immigrants off the boat. That's why he got Andrew Jackson, man, let me watch my language, but he was a poor immigrant from Ireland who's lived around these parts. His father and mother were sharecroppers, very poor, and he made his fortune and his mark on the world through slavery. Came from right in this area of North Carolina, although South Carolina like to try to claim them. They wasn't even around back then, really. That's who's hanging in the Oval Office right now. That's an expression of Irish pride, man. That's what that is. Irish person who practices racism and white supremacy, especially coming to the United States where they think they've gotten the British boot off their neck, but they come over here and join with the quote-unquote counterfeit Americans who gives them some boots to put on non-white people's necks. I mean, and this is documented history. This isn't Scotty making up stuff. All right. Read a lot. Let me quickly go through some of these other news stories. Again, on second hour, I'll actually be looking at the report. I got the PDF version. You can find it online, download it yourself. It is a real document. It's not fake news. Although there's a lot of it out there. It's not conspiracy theory. No, this is a evidence of a conspiracy fact. So, earlier I asked the question, is internet radio killing the traditional radio station model? What does it mean for the industry? So again, I already went over how over the past 8 years that I've been paying attention, digital radio continues to snag huge chunks of the radio listening audience. So when we're talking radio, we're either talking two means of radio. I'm excluding ham radio because most people don't listen to ham radio. Those are good for prepping and in case, you know, phones go down in emergency situations. But in terms of leisure and getting information, most people are either tuning in through a transistor, AM, FM transistor radio, or they're logging on to the internet to listen to radio streams. Download podcasts or listen to those podcasts. It's still streaming media as far as the technology is concerned. So I talked about that. Now, makes sense because black people, again, there was what they called a digital divide with black people not really having access. And while our children do need tablets, they do need computers, they do need desktops based on the job. You know, and you got to know how to use computers. I don't believe it, but don't be like Hillary Clinton in your 60s and allegedly can't operate a desktop computer. Don't let your children come up like they'll find it hard to find employment. They'll find it hard in the learning environment because everything is digital. You can't stop that wave, man. You just can't stop it. People going to use it, so you want to use it in the correct ways, but the vast majority of people actually looking for phone service get these phones, and then they graduated, the technology improved. I mean, they've come a long way with these phones since I was working at Sprint back in, when was that? That would be like early 2000s. I can't remember my employment history on it. It's been so long since I've been on that plantation, but these phones have really advanced in the past decade, and so now people use it to access the internet, and that's closed that digital divide. You can't do as much on a little smartphone, but it can connect you to listen to radio, listen to music, listen to talk radio. So this was all predictable to people that was paying attention. And Paul Glister, who wrote the books, his latest book is Centauri Dreams. I'm not really interested in that book right there, but it came out in 2004. But The Internet Navigator, 1993-1994, he wrote Finding It on the Internet in 1997, Digital Literacy, and then also in 1997, the book Web Navigator. And he published an article that was published in the business section of the News and Observer. It's all linked up. If you got the newsletter, you find titles to these books as well. But he wrote in that column, he was talking about how what he listens to through his smartphone, through the internet. And he talked about how he listened to certain Caribbean stations and other stations. But he then writes, but listening to distant stations doesn't keep local stations alive. And it's conventional AM, FM radio, what we all grew up with, that is threatened, according to a new report out of New York University. It's traditional radio, the stations that broadcast a signal over an antenna and fill up drive time hours for so many drivers headed for an inevitable decline. And yes, this is predictable. So I think he mentions like 11 years. After 11 years, all cars pretty much will be off the road, the majority of them that aren't internet connected, that you can't, doesn't even have a USB connector where you can hook a smartphone up using an adapter and play what's on your phone or pull up a station. That's how some people listen to Black Talk Radio. They have, you know, their listening experiences. People shared that with me. So this was, you know, a blind man should have been able to see this coming. But of course, those who own all those stations have been suppressing this information because they also control, again, 95% plus of all media and stuff that we hear, read, watch. It's controlled by six corporations, and that includes, you know, the radio industry. So, of course, they will suppress this information that their business model is dying because they don't want to give you any ideas about competing with them on a local level, but with a digital radio station and a very low entry cost to it. So, definitely, you know, people, is still not too late to compete with these people, but it's right there in the tea leaves, as they have said. So, if you see opportunity in this as an entrepreneur, you don't have to go the route that I decided to go with the nonprofit. You can become a for-profit media company, a LLC, whatever. You can become your own Fox, 21st Century Fox. I'm not sure the exact name of the company that owns those stations. Rupert Murdoch, he owned a lot of stations in the UK, but it's still a media company. You can start a media company out as a small business and be competing on the local level with radio. It's all going to be in marketing and using what? Social media to promote. You can still have real world events, sponsor parties, sponsor events, public events in the park. Your talk radio station, you know, you can publicize all, you can go to all the local meetings and broadcast live from there as a station, and it won't cost you nearly as much as money. So it's just a matter of mastering this technology, and it's not that hard. It just takes, you know, a lot of practice for some people. So that opportunity is there. I'm telling you again, the opportunity is there, and if you want to seize upon this opportunity, then certainly Black Talk Media Project can help you in some of those areas. All right. And I go into, you know, the music and stuff in that report. So now we've hit the top of the hour. And on the other side of the hour, we're going to take another music break. I know I took the last one rather late, but on the other side, we're going to get into this FBI report blaming Black Identity Extremism, what they calling BIE, and I'm calling ALIE, but blaming them for shootings targeting law enforcement personnel that have occurred in recent years. This report was quietly released. Actually, it was August. I said September earlier, but it's actually August the 3rd with little fanfare. I know I was probably distracted because we were really trying to pull together resources for the August 19th March on Washington, D.C. for the millions for prisoners' human rights, where abolitionists came together, perhaps the largest gathering of abolitionists in Washington, D.C. since before 1865, pointing to the 13th Amendment this time and saying that slavery is alive and well and highly profitable. So I that's probably why this got by me. But it got by a whole lot of other people too, because I have a lot of sources that I subscribe to, and I just saw this in past few days like mostly everyone else. So, man, I don't know what y'all doing over there at News One or the BET Network, whatever these corporate stations that's doing black news that most black people listen to. Man, what? Why y'all so late on this? if you've reported it at all. I'm sure Roland Martin didn't got on it, but man, News One, y'all should be investigatorial journalism. Man, come on. So again, this book is this so-called intelligence assessment, and this is an assessment, which is another way of saying somebody's opinion. This is somebody's opinion, probably, again, a ghost skin. You don't know what ghost skins are. Go look up the 2006 FBI report on white supremacist infiltration of law enforcement. And that's kind of a joke of a title in itself, as if we don't have history, especially here in North Carolina, where the police was working hand-in-hand with the Klan, the Monroe police, to attack black communities in Monroe, North Carolina, until they were fired upon by Robert Williams and his highly trained and disciplined black guard. This is documented history. You read it in Negroes with Guns. You could find documentaries on this. So what do you mean infiltrated? It's always been a part. So we'll talk about that on the other side. If you had a chance to read, let me pull it up, actually. We'll go ahead and predetermine for we come, so that when we come back on the other side, we can delve into this report. Every page is important, even the cover. You got to read the fine print. How many times do people need to be told that? And I found it interesting. And why these people don't scare me, again, because number one, I'm a human being. I'm a self-determining individual. And I operate from the principle that I treat others the way I would want to be treated and never be afraid to speak the truth, as long as I can back up that truth with some facts that most people can agree on. All right. So, you know, it's very important to read the fine print. And not that I rely on these people to give me the rights to speak the truth, but it's what they call, and they talk about a lot, your constitutional rights, right? Freedom of speech. Again, that has been in the news a lot. First Amendment. It also applies to freedom of religion, which is an expression. You know, we go by this report, black churches could be labeled extremist black institutions and what have, especially if they got 2008 Reverend Jeremiah Wright, who they, yeah, y'all remember that when Barack went to this school. Listen to this preaching. Listen to these people. They terrorists, man. They into that BIE, man, that black identity extremism. When you're talking about some chickens come home to roost and you asking the creator to punish these terrible, evil people that's in power, Caesar, if you will, you know, that's extreme. That's extreme to want justice. That's extreme to point out racism. That's what we got from the media. Again, people, this ain't nothing new, but you do have to combat it. But in its executive summary, let me do some speed reading right quick. Make sure I haven't lost much of my audio. Okay, my audio's coming in. Where it talks about, in the disclaimer, basically it's a disclaimer that these people have constitutional rights. And I'm like, then what is the purpose of this report? Again, to blame shootings of cops on freedom of speech or expression, especially if it's from a black perspective, which is what this very program is. It's news and views from my perspective, a black perspective, not the black perspective, a black perspective. But again, it doesn't matter. If I was calling myself a Cherokee, if I was calling myself an African American, I'm calling myself more, they still, of course, is going to label me an extremist. It don't matter. So black people, we need to set aside those kind of philosophical, because that's really what they are, philosophical arguments about Whether or not if we call ourselves this, that, or the other, it's going to afford us some rights, or we're going to go take them to their courts. Again, whose courts you going to go to enforce your sovereign rights and what have you? I don't, you know, where? Their courts. Because we certainly don't have a people's court that has any kind of authority behind it, which is violence. We don't have that kind of propensity or a standing army of slave catchers to enforce our will or rulings. We don't have that. But again, if you want to talk about those things, I believe you have a right to express yourself. Because I've yet to hear any of these people that I've heard on Black Talk Radio Network say, we need to go out and round up a bunch of people and start murdering them. We need to imitate Stephen Paddock. That's what we need to do. We need to use the very same tactics against people who are practicing racism and slavery. We need to use the same tactics they used against us, the same evil, I mean, if we're on the battlefield and somebody's shooting at me, then definitely I'm going to try to kill them before they kill me. But a lot of this stuff we're talking about is philosophical. And these people really don't mean anything or mean that they aim to pick up arms and do anything. Now, individuals want to take it upon themselves to exact vengeance from their frustrations. Then that's them. What you're trying to do is chill speech. You're trying to chill people. You're trying to get them afraid. You're trying to get them to not support other organizations that point out police brutality, especially if they identify as anything black, like Black Lives Matter or Black Talk Radio or anything with black in it. And make no mistake, I could be on here. This could be Indigenous Talk Radio. And according to these people, I'm still who they're talking about. I'm an extremist. Because I'm talking about they're operating from a immoral and often illegal position. So since I can't go along with the program, we identify these people as troublemakers. And we know they ain't breaking any laws, or we would arrest them, or we done our investigations, we done our little audits, and if we'd found anything, of course we would arrest them. But since they not breaking any laws, and they're just expressing what they're allowed to express as human beings with human rights that even the UN recognizes, that an oppressed people have every means at their disposal to get free. If you're enslaving people, there is nothing they could do that would invalidate their quest to get out from under that enslavement. Now, I kind of butchered the words as I try to paraphrase what the Human Rights Declaration of Human Rights say about that. So, again, we have people like professors like Vernelia Randall, esteemed professor of law, and she's saying that black people should classify themselves as descendants of enslaved Africans, deists, or something to that. These are conversations that have been had on this network, and to take that standing as descendants of enslaved Africans as to identify ourselves and be recognized by that, as that, by the United Nations, and force the U.S. to pay the reparations that the U.N. just keeps saying over the past couple of years that the U.S. owes. I'm sure they, according to this report, and the people behind this report, again, possibly ghost skins, Dr. Vernelia Randall is a black identity extremist. Technically, she's saying descendant of enslaved African deists. But according to this and how broad it is and how it's meant to be vague, like, I mean, that's everybody in the black community, you might as well say. I take this as an assault on blackness, period. So I'm going to continue with some music. I'll check the boards on the other side. Again, if anybody wants to chime in, they can do so. I'm sorry I'm not getting into any of the other news. I normally ask people to share news through the chats, but I really want to focus on this today. So, but we're going to continue to dedicate this music for today's show from the 1990 album Fear of a Black Planet, as we share tracks from that cut and dedicate them to the Trump administration and the other ghost skins, a part of his administration working in the executive branch. Listening to Black Talk Radio News. We'll be right back.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Taking me back to 1990. What was I doing in 1990? See, when Fear of a Black Planet came out with platinum, whatever, set a record. It has actually, that album has been inducted into the Congressional Hall of Records or something like that. But also, let's also remember Birth of a Nation. The original terrorist film is also in that same collection. But shout out to Public Enemy as they was planting them seeds that was paving the way for me to get out the U.S. military, because that's definitely what was playing on Black Terrestrial Radio, taking it back to the weekly newsletter. This is prior to the 1994 Telecommunications Act, which led to the death of Black Terrestrial Radio ownership. We have very few of them left, but hey, y'all not going to be playing that kind of music with them kind of lyrics, talking about their history, and it's not our story, but, you know, our story, not his story, and encouraging people to read. Ain't going to be no quoting no Malcolm X's going on and popularizing that and getting these young people into looking up who he is. Again, because of this album, I picked up Malcolm X's biography while I'm sitting over there in the Gulf War, doing the Gulf War, contemplating not only my spirituality, but my morality as well. And so, again, we dedicate this as a response to the ghost skins in the Trump administration, including the ghost skin in charge, Donald J. Trump. So, you know, brothers gonna work it out. What message can we apply today? Because in this report, they're naming all these different organizations. And while I try to stay out of a lot of these conversations, even though I may disagree with it and I have some questions, I'll try to frame it in questions. It's not a matter of if I agree or not. Again, I'm not trying to pick on people out there, but I see this mass, what can we call this? This fad. Just like when The Secret, the book. I was on Black Planet, on that social media network back whenever that came out. And it got hyped up. I think Oprah really hyped that. Everybody was into The Secret. Oh, practice The Secret. Read The Secret. You'll have people giving you free stuff. And, you know, all this stuff, man. That's like in the Bible. We use Bible scriptures that say the same thing. If you do this, that, or the other, it'll have men giving into your bosom and all kind of riches and all kind of stuff. All of this is just repackaged by worldly people to sell you on something. We get lost on it, so The Secret. And so now the latest fad is getting black folks into this flat earth theory, or whether or not we are indigenous to this land and whether or not we should call ourselves black or African American or more or melanated or whatever label you want to apply to yourself. They lumping us all in the same category. And it's not necessarily the black category, but who they declaring their enemies. They are declaring black people enemies of the state because they doing too much complaining and talking about slave catchers killing people. And in some cases, even when the prosecutor brings it to trial, because they're operating off the evidence and not suppressing it, or rigging the doggone grand jury or some of the shenanigans we've seen over the years. Even when you got a prosecutor trying to get an indictment, you got racists on the jury that let him go, or a slave catcher will opt for a bench trial where it's just the judge, there's no jury. And we know these judges are pro-slave catchers because they work in the system. They getting paid more than the slave catcher to put people, sentenced to people to slavery. Again, all under the purview of the 13th Amendment, which did not abolish slavery. So brothers going to work it out. Again, a track from Fear of a Black Planet. Let's set all this stuff aside. Y'all want to talk about it, talk about it. But let's not get into arguments with each other or try to say what somebody over there is calling themselves is going to make sure they stay in slavery when we all are susceptible to slavery and got family members in slavery today. We need to close ranks. As Public Enemy suggested or predicted, and in the spirit, we want to apply spiritual principles to it, that the brother's going to work it out. And that's not excluding the sisters. Let's not take it there, feminists. We're not meaning to leave you out. I'm not into dividing up the black family, but that was a message to the brothers out there in the street, fighting and shooting and killing each other over some gang war turf because they've all put us in these poverty bubbles. And the system is set up to put you into slavery, but it's time to rise above that and recognize the game that's being run on you. They say game, recognize game, but y'all ain't recognizing the game that what you're doing and harming each other is serving the purpose of those who want to see all of us in slavery. Physical chains, not metaphorical chains, not mental chains or anything. No. Actually sewing American flags in a prison. That's slave labor, man. And that's what they want to see us all doing. So we got to set aside this stuff. Oh, I'm not, you know, you calling yourself black. You're saying that you're this, that, or the other. Or then we got to come back with, well, actually, when we interpret these words and study the etymology means the same thing, black. Getting in all these different, then we want to talk about legal terminology and all that, and it's all based on what they came up with. The so-called spirit of the law could be on your side, but again, because they don't scream racists and terrorists off the juries, they don't care what the evidence says. This is a way for them as an individual to express white supremacy. I mean, let's read some of this, get into some of this. Again, this is 12-page report, but we don't want to just go through the whole report. I want to take all week to go through this. So it starts off, the title, of course, is Black Identity Extremists Likely Motivated to Target Law Enforcement Officers. This is a Federal Bureau of Investigation Intelligence assessment. It was prepared by the FBI in the Counterterrorism Division. So again, they calling this terrorists, yo. They calling, again, it's time to close ranks. Don't be trying to distance yourself from somebody because they calling themselves a more. Don't try to, distance yourself from somebody and, oh, I'm not going to patronize your business because you whatever. These original terrorists have identified you as an extremist. And that's all of us. And it's time to close ranks. Matter of fact, it's been time to close ranks and stop devoting a whole bunch of time on whether or not I'm using words out your book that I don't know what words you using or definitions you using, but you know, let's speak language, universal language that everybody can understand because everybody's read the dictionary. Let's use those definitions. Now, when we are operating in our own churches and our own cliques, then we can go to the Bible, and I expect a Christian to understand Now, again, you got so many different Christian denominations, but certain spiritual principles, and I speak of these things, people outside of that, that who haven't studied that, they ain't going to know what I'm talking about. So, you know, it's certain things that are not meant for the public, that is only meant for that small group of people. And if you're going to make your code book public, you know, well, what good is it calling it a code book if everybody got the keys to the code? That's why I take issue with people exploiting what they call counter racism and acting like they fighting against white supremacy, but they really pimping it. It's a set of beliefs and they pimping it like a religion, just like prosperity Christian preachers pimp the people and pimp the word, as they say. We got a lot of pimps out there. But, and I'm talking to the grassroots people who are with sincere hearts, who are just trying to think tank this thing that they call white supremacy, that they call slavery, that they call illegal occupations, whatever. We know it's oppression. They just trying to think tank it. And so these slave, racist slavers, probably ghost skins of the FBI, been think tanking too. So they come out with something that has great propaganda value to target black people. Again, from my studies and journalists I've spoken with during the period of the 60s when J. Edgar Hoover was still around, they were saying that the FBI would send press releases and radio stations, including black radio stations, some of them, but definitely Jim Crow media would just read the report verbatim. No debate over it. The FBI said that they terrorists. The Black Panther Party is a terrorist organization. Doesn't matter that they have charters and from the state and can run for political office and have these social programs that we're going to later copy and what have you, like clinics, free clinics and stuff like that. No, that's terrorism. They're terrorists. Them feeding the people, feeding black children in their own communities is an act of extremism, you know? So again, it's important to know history, man. And not ancient history, but recent history. This isn't that long ago. 60s. Man, I was born in 66. We need to think of these in terms of not in how many years, but how many lives, how many generations have come along since then. So it goes on to say, again, we should read the fine print. Let me see if I can. I know I can, but y'all give me a moment as I enlarge my text. So it says, law enforcement, sensitive. The information mark ULES in this document is the property of FBI, may be distributed within the federal government and its contractors, U.S. intelligence, law enforcement, public safety, or protection officials and individuals with a need to know. Distribution beyond these entities without FBI authorization is prohibited. So they want to keep this secret. Precautions should be taken to ensure this information is stored and or destroyed in a manner that precludes unauthorized access. Information bearing the LES caveat may not be used in legal proceedings without first receiving authorization from the originating agency. So what does that mean? Does that mean that they can't use this sensitive report that they wanted to keep secret on who, how they're identifying people as possible terrorists in this counterterrorism division? You can't use this in court, but this is just a heads up that you might be dealing with terrorists. See what I'm saying? Then that gives the local law enforcement official either going to make them paranoid or even more trigger happy. Again, criminal law, this is old, man. This is old from the old playbook. So it's went out to all law enforcement. Wasn't meant for the public to know this. This is the demonization, again, of black males, particularly, but black females included, because they killed, man, I've forgotten her name. There's hundreds and thousands of victims. The young lady in Baltimore who identified as a Moor, and they shot her and her 6-year-old son in the apartment. So they were looking at, it's possible that they were looking at that. No, it wasn't possible at that time because this just came out. But again, I don't know how long this has been circulated or rumors and whispers within the law enforcement community. So this does have the effect of making these slave catchers even more dangerous to the black community, in my assessment. All right, so let me continue to go on. That's on the cover. That's the cover page. So this is the executive's summary. This is unclassified. It's been redacted. So they've taken out a whole lot of stuff, just like they took out a whole lot of stuff out the 2006 report on white supremacists infiltrating law enforcement at every level. And they even had names and they redacted them and said some of these people were well known. You see them on TV as quote unquote law enforcement experts and what have you. And they redacted them. And so it's very possible that those very same ghost skins who have written this latest report that we were warned about in that 2006 report infiltrating white supremacists, terrorists, infiltrating law enforcement at every level. Again, they are possibly the ones behind this report as well. I would say that the simplest explanation would be yes, they are. These are ghost skins, man. The FBI assesses it is very likely black identity extremists, see they're coining terms now, BIE, perceptions of police brutality against African Americans spurred an increase in premeditated retaliatory lethal violence against law enforcement and will likely serve as justification for such violence. The FBI says it is very likely this increase began following the 9 August 2014 shooting of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, and the subsequent grand jury November 2014 declination, which means they declined to indict the police officers involved. Man, I was talking about, and this was even mainstream media. Don't try to put it on black identity extremists, but CNN and other mainstream outlets were reporting some shenanigans going on with the grand jury process. But again, this is what we perceive, right? Again, this is like all in our minds. This is from your own media partners in Jim Crow media, because, you know, in order to be an effective liar, you got to tell some truths. And sometimes they tell some things that they don't intend to do. And other times they are motivated by the clickbait money. But this is documented. We can also report to the Ferguson report, also produced by the FBI, documenting racism and practices of slavery against black people. That's the FBI. Y'all put that out there. So to say that black talk radio news, this person named Scotty Reed, who identifies as a black male, is perceiving police brutality against African Americans, is causing people who listen to this program or programs like this one who use the sort of accurate language that I use, again, based on the evidence, that we are the cause of these cops getting targeted. And again, most of the successful shootings of slave catchers have been by veterans. Maybe these veterans was upset that that flag ain't representing everything I put my life on the floor on the line for, and y'all just letting these cops get away with it. And I worked with them when I was in Iraq, and I heard them referring to them Iraqis and racial slurs and whatnot, and you have a special program that gives them points when, you know, extra points, as you do all veterans when they're applying for jobs, but particularly if they're applying for jobs in law enforcement. We're putting combat soldiers on America's streets. And we also have reports that white supremacists also infiltrate and go into the U.S. Army and in these combat positions to get the training. This is also from the same, very same government. So again, because you have different administrations who have different policies, it changes like that. Some things always stay the same, but there are subtle changes back and forth, depending upon who's put in charge. And we got Beauregard, old Jeff Beauregard, session person who is proud of slavery, proud of his racist ancestors. Apparently, he's not like Donald Trump. He's not like second generation fresh off the boat, fleeing a potato famine kind of white person. No, Jeff Sessions probably has traced his roots back much further than that, going back before the Civil War, where his family made profits from the bodies of African descended people. So that's who in charge. Let me continue. The FBI assesses his very likely incidents of alleged, like ain't none of this happened. Like millions, I would say hundreds of millions of people around the world didn't see the video, didn't see the same facts as was revealed to the public, and couldn't come to a logical conclusion that this was police abuse, especially when you got cops telling us and putting their lives on the line to point out that, hey, it ain't right for you to handcuff that dude and then beat him into a confession. Or it ain't right for John Burge to have used cattle prods and batteries and torturing the testicles of black teenagers like they did Mark Clements up there in Chicago and make him confess to an arson that he didn't commit. This is all in our minds. See, they on that former Sheriff David Clark, who is now the mouthpiece for a super PAC for Donald Trump, who is black in color and skin color, who has said absurd things like racism was dealt away. Let me rephrase that. Racism in policing ended in the 1960s. The same period that the Chicago Police Department, with help from a traitor, broke into the apartment to assassinate a drugged Fred Hampton, chairman of the Black Panther Party for Illinois at the time, if I remember correctly. Gunned him down next to his pregnant girlfriend, who was also shot but survived. Gunned him down. So again, and so it says the FBI assesses, African Americans, they identifying you, or those who identify as African Americans. Again, it don't matter what we call ourselves, it matters what the enemy calls us. You know what their favorite word is when referring to melanated people. The FBI assesses its very likely incidents of alleged police abuse against African Americans since then have continued to feel the resurgence in ideological motivated violent criminal activity within the BIE movement. So it's a movement now, the BIE movement. Sound like a L-I-E. I just talked about earlier how all of these different various formations, we'll call them, in the black community. We got the Moors, we got the Nation of Islam, we got the Moors Science Temple, we got the New Black Panther Party, we got the NAACP. Well, I mean, we got all these different formations, people identifying this or that. And we ain't all together, so how can it be a movement? Is there no unity? This is no black. I mean, that's just a broad term. That could mean anything, and they meant for it to mean anything. That's how they do. The FBI assesses it is very likely some BIEs are influenced by a mix of anti-authoritarian, Moorish sovereign citizen ideology and BIE ideology. Republic of New Africa, I was trying to remember them earlier, who showed up to the Millions Against Prisoners Human Rights March. Shout out to the Republic of New Africa, who one of my people I look up most to. North Carolinian Robert F. Williams was the first elected his first president. The FBI has high confidence in these assessments based on a history of violent incidents attributed to individuals who acted on behalf of their ideological beliefs, documented in FBI investigations and other law enforcement and open source reporting. The FBI makes this judgment with the key assumption, and what did Drill Sergeant, oh man, I just mentioned his name, my drill sergeant, one of my drill sergeants in basic training when I was in the U.S. military, we'll just call him Staff Sergeant Dixon. He said, don't assume anything because you make a ass of you and me. So read, don't be making a bunch of assumptions, man. You want to dig up the facts. All right, don't assume anything. Get the facts first. So here we have the FBI admitting that its key assumptions, it's making key, its judgment is on key assumptions. That ain't worth a darn. That's not very scientific, is it? That's not very factual way to come to a judgment, by making assumptions. Wow. So just the other day, I was expressing my frustration that I have. It ain't no big deal, you know, but I express my frustration that I have that certain people just always want to push conspiracy theories that they don't have the facts to support the theory. I know that conspiracies and people conspire to do things all the time. The longest running conspiracy that I'm aware of is the one to practice slavery while claiming to abolish it. That takes a lot of people participating in that for that to happen. That's therefore the definition of a conspiracy. I can't have a conspiracy by myself. So right there, that's troubling right there, because they're admitting all of this is based on assumption. See Appendix A, expressions of likelihood or probability. We had to break this down. We had to take our time. We can't do rush jobs on a document as important as this, especially when you have the type of people that you have in positions of power right now. The FBI defines black identity extremists as individuals who seek, this is very important because they're giving you a definition, their definition again. This is why I tell people, man, you can't make up definitions and expect people to go along with those definitions, and then there not be a conflict because their long standing definition is totally has nothing to do with the word that you using. So that breeds confusion. So FBI, again, they're coming up with their own definition. The FBI defines black identity extremists as individuals who seek wholly or in part through unlawful acts of force or violence in response to perceived racism and injustice. That's that word again. I didn't like it when Barack Obama would say it, and I don't like it with these ghost skins saying it. In response to perceived racism, I mean, we got recognized, what people recognize as credible news organizations that have been around for you know, 50 or more years, who are keeping databases on the number of people getting killed by police with, you know, some of the details and the circumstances, breaking it down by race, breaking it down by age. And so, again, how does perception apply? It's not perceived racism and it's not perceived injustice. And we can get into parts per million and all of that kind of percentages and try to minimize it. But like King said, an injustice to one is an injustice to all. So that would be my response. In response to perceived racism and injustice in American society, and some do so in furtherance of establishing a separate black homeland of autonomous black social institutions, communities, or governing organizations within the United States. Okay, now listen, if you look up the definition of the word nation, and I was mistaken because I didn't have a good working knowledge on the definition of what constitutes a nation. But again, you have several different definitions for words. So again, this is all based on whoever doing the interpreting. So this one definition of nation said that any large group of people who share a common history, a common culture, a common tongue. Culture means music. When you have institutions, that's talking about schools, colleges, which we still have historically black colleges and universities, not because black people wanted to separate themselves, but because white supremacist slavers didn't want it to continue to create slaves by miseducating them, giving them poor educations and whatnot. And they separated. It wasn't black people who sought to do that. They ain't in charge of nothing. So it ain't like they had a choice in the decision anyway or say in it. So those are institutions. Let me see, communities or governing organizations within the United States. So a nation can be inside of a country. Nation means common tongue, language, fads, mannerisms, a way of speaking, food, how they cook food. That's a nation of people who have a common history. A lot of black people have a common history of being victims of slavery only 2 to 3 generations ago. 2 in some cases. We probably still got some old timers out there. So this ain't ancient history. And the United Nations is saying you owe reparations, but, you know, and I don't care. I was going to say I'm sure I'm going to get some blowback on this, but let me rephrase that and say I don't care. But it's perfectly fine for people classifying themselves as Jews and subscribing to a religion, establishing a homeland because of similar described treatment, although that treatment did not include hundreds of years of stealing people's manual labor and energy and just their very lives. They don't have that long history. And they have received reparations for that. So is that extreme? Is the FBI willing to say that's extreme? No, they're not. Because you got right-wing neoconservatives. We can apply that label to them too. But pro-Zionist manifest destiny supporters of Israel in the Trump administration. And that has been made publicly known. People want to talk about outside influence of money and question the loyalty of Muslim Americans or Japanese Americans or Korean Americans or Black Americans. But when it comes to these other people, oh, that's not extreme. That's not described as being extremism. Man, that's like telling these Native Americans that they're wrong for wanting some of their land back or being compensated for some of their land back as the Obama administration and the Bush administration did for some of that stolen land in certain areas with certain tribes. That's extreme for them to want to be autonomous from a government that has done nothing but double dealing, lying, murdering, raping, pillaging, stealing, just straight up barbarianism against them. And they're wrong to want, that's extreme for them to want compensation or reparations for any of that. So again, y'all realize we dealing with ghost skins or who are behind this report. It's not a term Scotty made up. It's a term that was identified in that FBI 2006 report produced by the Bush administration identifying white supremacists in all levels of law enforcement. Guess what? That includes you, FBI. This desire for physical or psychological separation is typically based on either a religious or political belief system, which is sometimes See, look at these words. Sometimes too many assumptions formed around or includes a belief in racial superiority or supremacy. Or is a reaction to a social programming of, what's the word I'm looking for? Oh, man, Malcolm X talked about it. They want Negroes who don't have any confidence in themselves, any pride, any self-assurance. Just, no, that's why they didn't like Muhammad Ali. Because he came along and all the white America was against this little loud mouth talking black boy and from Kentucky. And we need somebody to punch him in the mouth and shut him up and bust up his face and all that. And they didn't like that. Because then when he won and he became champion and he was telling people, I'm the greatest, then you have other black people emulating that. I'm the greatest. I can do anything that I put my mind to. If I work hard or study my craft, I can be the very best in it. But at the same time, I can not look at my personal advancement and think that everybody else is advancing like I am as an individual and turn a blind eye to their suffering. And so when Muhammad Ali did that, you know, again, the mere advocacy of political or social positions, political activism, use of strong rhetoric, or generalized philosophic embrace of violent tactics may not constitute extremism and may be constitutionally protected. So, again, this is the government entity. This is the counterterrorism. And it's like we got middle schoolers who put together this report. Or people who are being very, very deceptive with their use of words and language may not constitute extremism and may be constitutionally protected. Either it is or it ain't. But again, the intent of this article, we have to look at who was it meant for. It was meant for a certain audience. It was meant for the police unions who heavily backed Trump. That, again, these people's jobs, their livelihood depends on slavery continuing through the criminal justice system as prescribed by the 13th Amendment. Now, y'all can call me a conspiracy theorist, but that's a fact for you right there. The FBI defines sovereign citizen extremists as individuals who openly reject their U.S. citizenship status, believe that most forms of established government authority and institutions are illegitimate, and seek wholly or in part through unlawful acts of force or violence to further their claim to be immune from government authority. Now, I believe, I do know, and there are people in my circles, again, I interact with a lot of people, I'm a public personality, and also provide a safe digital space for the expression of people. Primarily people classified as black, non-white, because of acts of racism in this medium. That's why we were established. Not because we wanted to separate ourselves from that other white-dominated platform, but circumstances forced us to. It was made clear we were not wanted there, and they were offended by our blackness. So, hey, and was I extreme for doing what I did in developing this institution? Again, the FBI, but again, these sovereign citizen people, I hear them talk about it, and I'm like, okay, I hear what you're saying, but have you personally rejected your own citizenship? Because obviously you have not declared to the United States that you reject that U.S. citizenship by giving them formal notice. Or I don't think you would still be in this country. You'd be in Ghana somewhere or some other country that would offer you citizenship. That's what it really means to denounce your citizenship. You could say I ain't no citizen all day long. But again, it ain't you who determines who a citizen is. It's the people with the power. and the guns and the foot soldiers to enforce their say, or what they say is the law of the land. Not what you say, not according to your classification. This is, I'm not trying to be harsh, I'm just trying to keep it real. So these people, none of the ones I've heard are planning on, and I don't know, because I ain't involved in no plots, and I don't hear them discussing plots to arm up, train as militias, then on such and such year, we're going to launch attacks on these key points throughout the country. Ain't nobody talking like that. Ain't nobody planning nothing like that. Unless they really are planning it, because then they're not talking about it. Most people don't talk about it. I mean, you got dummies out there and people set up by the FBI through informants getting paid lots of money to trap people and get convictions. All about that profit, right? But these people are no danger. They present no danger. Basically, all they're doing is having a conversation in the dialogue. Think tanking. How many think tanks do you have around the United States backed by big money billionaires and multimillionaires who write laws and legislations and get the politicians to pass these laws, like Alec, teaching state legislatures how to get law and order legislation passed to increase the number of slaves on the modern day plantations we call in prisons, because it increases the value of their portfolios. That's nothing but 13th Amendment slavery. And I dare anyone to prove otherwise or to come up with evidence as otherwise. So we just on page 2. I'm going to just close it out with this last paragraph, and we're going to come back to this tomorrow. The FBI defines sovereign citizen extremists as individuals who openly reject their U.S. citizenship status, believe that most forms of established government authority and institutions are illegitimate, and seek wholly or in part through unlawful acts of force or violence to further their claim to be immune from government authority. The mere advocacy of political or social positions, political activism, use of strong rhetoric, or generalized philosophic embrace of violent tactics may not constitute extremism and may be constitutionally protected. Shout out to Colin Kaepernick, Know Your Rights, having all the Know Your Rights workshops. Again, I don't limit my rights to their constitution, but since most people want to recognize that as the legal authority, because it does have the guns and the soldiers to enforce it, even within that, they have a right to those expressions. And why my speech will never be chilled by such documents to make me scared, because I didn't go into this for money. Don't care about YouTube demonetizing stuff, and we haven't even really been putting stuff on YouTube here lately. But I don't care about that, because I know at the end of the day, he who pays the piper names the tune. And you can claim you being independent in your thoughts and speech and action on these other platforms, but then when you worried about, oh, I'm not getting money from that, I'm getting all these views, but YouTube making all the money, or I'm not getting any money, then guess what? It has the same response, chilling your speech. Because now advertisers and others, like it was reported by Brother Derek from the Chicago area, in the chat room, the Black Authority channel was censored. The video now reads, or the channel now reads, the following content has been identified by the YouTube community as inappropriate or offensive to some audiences. Again, the same type of wording we're hearing in this redacted report called BIE, which is really a LIE, from these ghost skins who have infiltrated the FBI, according to the FBI. So we'll leave it at that. When we come back tomorrow, read the rest of this. Let's read. We'll start on page 3, the scope and note. All right. We'll start there, and we'll break down two more pages. But again, well, I'm interested to hear what people have to say and how they're breaking down this. I'm pretty sure there are some people afraid right now, and they're going to be extra cautious about what they say. And you should always be cautious about what you say. It's not because you're scared. It's because you don't want to put your neck in a noose. And you don't want to be blatantly in violation of law, so that then you on YouTube talking about kill white people, and you got waving around handguns, and next thing you know, the slave catcher knocking on your door, carrying you out in handcuffs, and you crying and in tears, and nobody's coming to save you. Not your crew, not the people you made us think like you had this big support network and all this, and your soldiers, we gonna go to war and all. No, it was all for YouTube views. Don't fall for this type of stuff, people, and don't put yourself at risk like that. You can do more good to end slavery on the outside than you can on the inside. Because on the inside, you know, shout out to those brave sisters and brothers, you lose your life as they already losing their lives because it's slavery. So we're going to close it out. Of course, we've been dedicating Fear of a Black Planet to the Trump administration and the ghost skins who put together this BIELIE report for taking a page out of old J. Edgar Hoover's playbook. But guess what? I'm not scared. I'm not scared, and I will continue to speak truth based on the evidence. Recognize the fact that you live behind the enemy lines of USAE, a nation or a so-called country that's practicing slavery and human trafficking by way of the 13th Amendment. I did not make that up. That's not a conspiracy theory. That's a conspiracy fact. You check out New Abolitionist Radio on Wednesday nights and their extensive archive full of 5 years of podcasts of reading news reports and such documents like this, just heaping upon evidence upon evidence that this is slavery and human trafficking, and racism is just a part of it. One of the tactics they use to point out victims who they plan to victimize. All right, so recognize that. When you recognize these simple truths, then hopefully you'll start think tanking. I may not agree with everything, but hey, it's all hands on deck at this point. Whoever comes up with the solution comes up with the solution, but you are not crazy to believe that there is a problem. This is Scotty. I'm out. Peace and blessings to all. Fight. Hello, this is Scotty Reed, and thank you for listening to this podcast and sharing it with others. Please consider making a donation to the U.S.-based nonprofit media organization Black Talk Media Project in support of its efforts to elevate independent Black voices. You can also support the work by joining the network's social media community, BTR Community, for just $24 a year. Black Talk Media Project is leading the way in the production of grassroots Black media.